Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone of WCBI Sports. Now, get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Carlo Barone here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffee House and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffee House here in Starkville or at Brewpolo over in Tupelo. If you're not in Starkville or Tupelo, it's real easy. Just order it online, strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. They'll ship it right to you. You can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning with strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that
beef,
it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. I see the forecast. It's going to be a little rainy. I get it. Well, beef steak's just as good cooked in a cast iron pan on your stove. I'll just go ahead and tell you that piece of information. You can always do that. But if you know what? If you want to brave the elements, get on out there and make beef star of the show. Father's Day is coming up, and you're going to have to take dad out for a great steak. It's real easy to do when you live in Mississippi. We got steakhouses from one end of the state to the other, all serving up great Mississippi beef. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you're looking for. Everything maroon and white, everything Mississippi State should be at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flow by the Half Shell, or you can shop online on College Corner Store at collegecornerstore.com. Father's Day again coming up, but whatever the reason, the Starkville Regional coming up. You need to get some new gear, get it at College Corner. Priority One Bank, 16 locations here to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you how they're going to help you, not only how they're going to help you invest and manage your money, but how they're going to help you prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. Well, talk to the good folks at Priority One Bank, bankers that know you by name, not just by your account number. If you live in Central Mississippi, you live near a Priority One Bank location. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Let's make sure we're good. Power still on, okay. That was rough yesterday.
That was something, Brian.
Especially when, like, it wasn't that bad outside. And when we left, like, the power was out in my neighborhood. But on the other side of Highway 12, power. Like, Marshall's, Aldi, all that area, power. Jersey Mike's drove past. The open sign was on. I was like, it's like just centered on me. And I didn't
they
like
just
that.
They just didn't want us to do Thunder and Lightning after the win.
I guess. So they made us do it after a loss instead. So,
yeah.
All right. Jeez. Later in the show, we'll go back to softball. I've been trying to get this interview with Coach Ricketts up here for the past couple of days. We'll play it today. But we're going to spin that into a discussion talking about Alyssa Faircloth's no-hitter in the Eugene Regional that kind of pushed Mississippi State forward and got them into the championship game, which they ultimately won. I want to talk about some of the best all-time clutch performances, however you want to look at it. I got a short list. I'm sure I'm leaving some out, but these are the ones that stood out to me. So we'll talk about that. But we'll start with baseball. Mississippi State's SEC tournament is over after a 5-3 loss to Georgia. State 0-4 this year against the SEC champions. A game where, if I could have told you 10 minutes before first pitch, hey, State's only going to give up 5 runs today, I think everybody would have said, well, State's going to have a really good chance to win. This is a Georgia team that averages 10-plus runs a game. They hit the ball out of the ballpark with regularity. I thought State's pitching was not its problem today, but, you know, it's just the same story for me over and over again with State. When they lose these games, I can always point to something. It's never just that the other team is just better and beat them. It's you did this, and in this case, it was the double play today.
Well, it was a double play, but also it was really Duke Stone had, I would say, a great game except for one swing, and that swing was the difference. O'Connor said it after the game. I mean, that 3-run homer changed everything. It was 1-1, goes to 4-1, and it is right. You're right. It's, you know, you can always point to one thing. You know, they love losing these close games where they don't score a lot, and then, you know, they have games like Wednesday. I understand you're playing Missouri. We put up 8 runs in the 6th inning alone. I mean, Valencia's, there we go. Had to remember which one I was talking about. Valencia's hits two home runs, and then they really don't get anything going. It's like one day they can hit the ball well and they can win with their offense, and the other day they lose a close game. It's always one thing. So, I mean, that 3-run homer and Bryce Chance too.
Of all
Two.
people, yeah.
One of the most reliable guys, if not the most reliable hitter, especially in clutch time, especially with two strikes. Two double plays, just gifted that. I mean, that was, what was it, four on the day, you said?
Was it 4 or 5? I need to go back and look at
I mean,
the stats.
that's killers. You start
Yeah.
an inning, you get a guy on base, you get, a pop fly or something, and it's just seemingly over. Double play. It's just like, it's over before it happened. I mean, it looked like they didn't even really have much of a chance in some of those innings. So the fact they even got three on the board and they allowed four or five double plays, I mean, like you said, if they would have told us before the game, hey, Georgia's only gonna score five, how do you think State would do?
It's
I
four
think
double
good.
plays.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think they would have a good chance to win, and they were doing well early in the game, and then just could not do anything late. Noah Sullivan hits that home run, but at that point, it seemed like the chapter was written.
Yeah, State 9 hits on the day, more hits than Georgia had, but the difference is Georgia pops a 3-run home run, and State, as we mentioned, hits into four double plays. I thought today watching the game that Hoover, the stadium played a lot more like it normally does. I thought State hit some balls really well, and they just died out there in the outfield. I thought that Parker, Reese, Sullivan, who ended up having a home run, but I thought a few of those guys had balls. I was like, off the bat, they looked really, really good. But that is the Hoover Met. It's a place that swallows up. I thought the way the ball flew out of there the first couple of days in the tournament, today was much more of a regression to the mean of what you expect from the SEC tournament in terms of just not as much power.
The first 2 days were also blazing hot. Today
Yeah.
was a little bit more of an overcast. So, I
Yeah.
mean, maybe the weather had a little bit to
Yeah.
say in that, but you're absolutely right. I mean, there was some of those balls where, depending on where you play, it's a home run and they're scoring a lot more, but just fell a little short. And you could say that about just how they played at all, really, that
Yeah.
day.
And so here we are now at the point in the season where we're all on the waiting list, right? We're sitting here. They will announce the regional host on Sunday, and they will announce the bracket on Monday. I expect at this time Mississippi State to be among the 16 hosts. If you made me guess right now, they're probably going to be seated somewhere between 12. I would say 12, 13, 14. I don't think they drop all the way down to 15, 16. They're not going to be paired with Georgia Tech or UCLA. They're likely to be paired with Georgia, Auburn, Texas, or North Carolina, just depending in some order of that. I saw an interesting thought on a message board on three today, where they said, I bet they pair State with Texas because State's already played Georgia 4 times this year. And what I thought, Carlo, and I could be wrong, and I have no inside information to how the NCAA does the selection process, but State already played a series at Texas this year. I could see them saying, well, they did play Georgia, but they didn't play them at Georgia. And
Ooh.
so that could be where they want to put State. Or it could end up being Auburn. It could end up being North Carolina. But that's probably where you're looking, somewhere 12 to 14. I don't think enough's going to happen to push State up into the top, the 11, 10, 9 range. Certainly a national seed is not going to happen for them. You see some of the stuff that's happening right now. Florida is really hot. They beat Alabama. They run ruled Alabama today.
Crush Alabama.
Absolutely destroyed them, which is funny. That it's so weird how the season goes. Like Florida's hot right now. Alabama swept Florida earlier this year. They threw a no-hitter against Florida earlier this year. But today,
That's Florida's season.
that's exactly you're exactly correct. Florida is a team that could find themselves on the other side of the bracket now. They could be into the national seed, the top 8 seed. Range that would knock down maybe Texas A&M, maybe Auburn. Just depends on how the rest of this SEC tournament goes for the Gators. Southern Miss off today, Thursday, as we're listening. They had some weather issues at the Sun Belt tournament. I still don't think they're going to find their way onto the top 8, but they could very easily be number 9. For Ole Miss, they will be traveling. The problem, what sucks for Ole Miss, and if you're a State fan, you're not certainly not going to have any sympathy for them, but they're a high enough 2 seed that they're going to be paired with Georgia Tech or UCLA in all likelihood. So Ole Miss could be a team that wins its regional. I mean, I saw the predictions today. And they had Ole Miss in the Lawrence, Kansas regional. I was like, they'll probably
They'd win
win
that.
that.
They would win
But
that one.
then they go to Atlanta to play Georgia Tech. So that's not exactly what you want if you're looking at it from the perspective of an Ole Miss fan, which I know I know some of our listeners are, certainly, because
We have Ole Miss fans that listen to this.
oh yeah. Oh yes, buddy.
They just hate listening the whole time.
No, they love me. I'm telling you right now, the Rebel fans, they love me.
Well, there's always that one guy they're looking out for. I just forgot his name though, right?
Who's that?
No, the one guy that he never goes to Oxford because he
Oh.
like
Don't get us in trouble.
I just I well, I forgot. I just forgot his name.
So here's the D1. Let's look at the projections. D1 did a bracket projection for today on May 21st. We'll just go through it real quick. We'll just go through all the SEC. Well, we'll just go through it. We'll just go through it, Carly. So UCLA, as you can guess, is the one seed. They're paired with Eugene, Oregon. Oregon State in the same regional. 2 years ago you couldn't have that because they were in the same conference. But now that Oregon State's an independent and Oregon's in the Big Ten, that's a fun matchup. I like that. And the winner would go to play the number one seed UCLA. As I mentioned, Georgia Tech is the two seed. Oklahoma is the two seed in their regional. They're paired with Lawrence, Kansas. The Jayhawks, if they win the Big 12, they're going to get a regional. Ole Miss is the two seed there with Miami of Ohio and SIU Edwardsville. I'll be honest. I look at that regional and I think Ole Miss could certainly afford to not, they could probably afford to throw Kane Townsend against Miami of Ohio and
100%.
have Rabe and Elliott ready to go games 2 and 3. But even then, if they throw Elliott in game one and having Rabe against Kansas hasn't faced a pitcher like Taylor Rabe all year. So I would really like the Rebels' chances to get out of that one. Georgia is the three seed, with Miami as the two seed in their regional. That is paired with Starkville. Interesting regional for State. Their two seed is Coastal Carolina. That's a team that,
Oh.
4 weeks ago was the national seed. They were a top eight team. They have completely slid off. They lost the Sun Belt. They lost in the Sun Belt tournament on Wednesday. That's a double elimination tournament, so they're still alive. But I think State fans would be happy to see the Chanticleers in that regional, along with Michigan and St. John's. I would like State's chances to advance
I
in that
would
regional.
too. I mean,
So
think about their numbers against non-SEC teams this
they're
year.
undefeated. Undefeated at
Yeah.
home and lost the two games at a
Neutral
neutral
site and
site
away.
and Hattiesburg.
And then they run ruled Southern Miss at home.
Exactly. The rest of these regionals, the four seed is North Carolina, paired with the Lincoln, Nebraska regional at 13. Arkansas is the two seed in Lincoln. Texas is the five seed, paired with Morgantown, West Virginia. The Mountaineers getting a regional. They've been very hot as of late. Alabama is the six seed. Be interested to see if how this flips around now with
That might
Alabama getting run
change.
ruled by Florida. But they have them as the six seed, paired with Tallahassee at the 11. Kentucky is the three seed at Florida State. Auburn is the seven seed nationally, paired with Florida, the 10 seed. And then they have Texas A&M as the eight. That's paired with Hattiesburg, the Southern Miss regional, where Tennessee is the two seed. I could see Florida jumping up here. I could see them going. Tell me if you stay with me here. To go, Florida jumps up. Auburn goes to six, Florida to seven. A&M just stays where they are at eight. Southern Miss
Alabama.
drops could drop down to 10, and Alabama could be at nine. Or do they want to try to make it where Alabama and Auburn are paired together? And so you can maybe get an
Oh.
awesome super regional matchup. I don't know if the NCAA would want to do that or not. You'd think they would.
100%.
You would think that. I
It's
mean,
like how they really want Virginia to come to Starkville.
well, but you also know that the NCAA, like sometimes they just need a guy in the room who's looking over the bracket and going, you know, we could do this, right? This happened a few years back where State was the sixth seed and they made Ole Miss the 12th seed. And I was just like, why not just make them the 11th seed? Who cares? Like, they sent them to Arkansas instead of Starkville. I'm like, who cares?
Would have
Just
been an all-time
yeah,
rivalry moment.
you could have had 20,000 people at a college baseball game, but nobody thinks that far ahead.
Dude, that would be
State
so crazy.
going to Georgia. Obviously, it's not a great matchup. This is a team that you've already lost four games to. And in all four games, I have felt equally that State had some opportunities, but at the same time, Georgia's just the much better baseball team.
It felt like in all four games, too, that they made the play that State
Yes.
couldn't make.
Yes.
Like, I mean, I remember game one, We go up what 10-2, and then State goes all the way back. They have guys on base, and they just could not get the last swing. Yeah, it was unfortunate series. I mean, today was the same way. It was, or I guess Thursday was the same way. You was close games, 1-1. Felt like it was really anyone's game. Duke Stone didn't have a bad game at all. Let
Made one
one swing
mistake.
go, one swing go, and that was the difference. It's just like you said, it's the plays that they made that State just hasn't made 4 games in a row against them. I seriously think, I was talking to one of our news anchors about this. If they can dodge Georgia and if they can dodge Texas, I like their chances of a super regional.
If
Now,
they were to
obviously,
go to North Carolina, I'd feel better. Now, maybe that's
yeah.
just because I haven't seen State play those teams, though. I've
But you
seen them
also,
play Georgia. I've seen them play Auburn and Texas, and I'm like, I don't know.
I don't think North Carolina would want an SEC team that really is playing with house money on the road.
Probably not.
Yeah.
The other side of that, though, is, Georgia has beaten Mississippi State 4 times this year. We were talking about State and Ole Miss. State beat Ole Miss 4 times, and
I was thinking that exact thing earlier today.
I was like, do I really, could they really beat them 5 times in a year? That would be something. Would State just be due at that point? Like, is that something you want to buy into or not? But if I've got healthy McPherson, which I didn't have against Georgia, when that series happened the first weekend in April. So if I got healthy McPherson, by the time you get to a super regional, and look, maybe we're putting the cart before the horse a little bit here. It's very pot State could easily not show up to its regional and lose, but I feel pretty good about their chances to advance.
I do too. I do
But
too.
healthy McPherson, Valinkas, and then you figure it out in a game three if it goes that far. I mean, that's something that State has. They do have two outstanding pitchers to throw against Georgia.
100%. And I mean, these games, like we said, where they didn't make the plays, but also they were in almost all of them until the end. So if they are able to simply just make those plays, maybe it's a little bit different. I don't know if they're due, though. Georgia won those many games for a reason.
Well,
They're
Georgia's a good team. I mean, there's no getting
really
around
good.
that.
They're, I mean, they're, what was their SEC record? 23 and
What,
7 or
23 and
something?
7, something like
Yeah,
that.
that's ridiculous. I
But
mean,
they also, on the other side of that coin, have lost. I think they have 4 or 5 quad three, quad four losses. They've had some bad losses this
got
year.
run ruled at Georgia Tech, which
They
I
did.
know
They did. They're not
bad,
invincible.
but
They just, State just didn't play well
they just had their
against.
number.
Yeah. I mean, you look at, the Thursday, it was a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series. The Thursday game, Charlie Foster was not good in that start, and State fell behind. They put together a furious comeback to the point where even in defeat, I was like, I think State has the momentum in this series.
100%. I thought the same thing.
And then, the next day, Valinkas gave them a really good start, but he gives up a couple of runs, and State only scored 1 run in that game. And then the next day, you go back and forth, you go into extra innings, and then Georgia does what they do. They hit a home run that wins the game. So three very different games, but 3 games where State had opportunities to win. And I don't know. I would just say that if I'm Georgia, I would be equally parts confident because you've already beaten this team 4 times, and equally parts nervous isn't the right word, but wary, of just can we are we really going to beat this team 6 times in a season if it comes to that?
That's a good point. You know, it's hard to beat a team 4 times, like we talked about Ole
Yeah.
Miss. 6 times in 1 year. Oh my
6 times in
God.
1 year would be absolute ownage. It'd be absolute just total domination. I've never heard of a team beating a team 6 times in a season. I can't imagine it's happened very often.
Yeah, that's a stat we got to look up. That is.
Well, you do that. You get to work on that. That can be your
I
job.
can't use my computer, but it's probably if it's ever happened before.
We'll text somebody at the SEC and find out, see if they
Someone
can
will probably
make it.
tweet us and be like, yeah, it's happened. You guys didn't know what happened back in 68? It's like, oh, my
Who's
bad.
going to do that?
Somebody.
Doug. Doug will do it.
See, you told me not to say
I'm just
no.
saying, he's the guy who would do it. He's the guy who would know. So,
Yeah,
yeah.
he's.
So now, like I said, we wait. They'll announce the host regions. I think they normally do it. Like during the SEC tournament final game, I think it's when it's at, or maybe just right after. Late afternoon on Sunday, we should get those the host sites, which we expect to Mississippi State and Starkville to be one of them. And then from there, Monday morning or Monday early or late morning, early afternoon, they'll announce the brackets on Memorial Day. Sports Talk Mississippi will be live on Memorial Day. We won't take Memorial Day off. We know it's a huge day here in the state of Mississippi, as you got to find out the brackets. So we'll be live with you on there. And of course, Thunder and Lightning on Monday and Tuesday. We will not miss a day due to the holiday. Do not worry about that. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. I was all ready to talk about my great meal at Two Brothers that I had on Wednesday, and I didn't get a chance to do it because the power went out. So I'll talk about it now. Had a great meal at Two Brothers on Tuesday. Just casual 12 wings. You know, nothing to it. Nothing to it. Hey, could have had more. Could have had a lot more. Just didn't. Didn't feel like making a pig of myself in the middle of a Wednesday afternoon. Just, you
I
know,
usually just start with 40 here, Brian.
start with 40. No, I'm not in polite company. You know,
Okay, so this is not polite company.
if you and I were at a wing eating competition, no, then that's competition is what that is, my friend.
You
But this
know,
was, you know, we had some we had one of our Super Talk people was here in town. He wanted to meet you, but I was like, he's in Hoover. He can't come. So we'll get you up with him. You know, he's one of the few Bulldogs on staff here at Super Talk. But you know, we're a small but proud group in the Super Talk
is it
main
more of
office.
a Ole Miss company?
Let's not call it like that. Let's not
Oh, I hit a
be
nerve.
that way. You know, we have a variety of people that work for us. We're a very diverse workforce when it comes to our college alma maters. So,
Sounds like an Ole Miss group.
well, you know, you say that, but they did hire me.
Orky, Richard Cross.
Well, I mean, Cross, yeah.
Someone on LinkedIn, I don't remember her name, but she friended me and she's Ole Miss too.
From Super Talk?
Yeah, someone, it just said Super Talk and I forgot her name, but she like
Way to
messaged
keep
me.
up with the company higher ups there. You're going to go
I
far, Carlo.
just accepted it. It was like a month
I
ago.
need to know who this person is. We'll find out after we get off the air. What we also need to find out is when you're next going to Two Brothers or the older brother. If you want to enjoy a great meal in Starkville, that's the place to go. Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the older brother. A great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems. They've been doing it for over 50 years. Are you looking for technology for your business? Are you looking for a new copier, a new printer, new computers or laptops? Call my friends at Advantage Business Systems to not only get the deal that you're looking for, but to get the promise and the guarantee and the safety net of service after the sale. They've stayed in business this long for one reason. They take care of their customers when you walk in the door and after you leave. That's what you're guaranteed with Advantage Business Systems. 601-362-9192 or visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon and Co. is the place to go if you're going to be in town this coming weekend or next weekend, I should say, for the Starkville Regional. You need to make a trip to Maroon and Co. before you head over to the Noble Field. Grab yourself a brand new Mississippi State baseball cap, new M over S polo, or a Mississippi State 85 T-shirt. They've got them all at Maroon and Co. Stuff you can't find anywhere else. It's only available at Maroon and Co., including our friend Luke Alexander, the former Diamond Dog, the LA7 line. All that great gear is available for you at Maroon & Co. Use the promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price. Before you go to your next game at Duty Noble Field, make sure you go to Maroon & Co. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. Guys, it's been rainy this week. It's conference tournament week. Of course, it's raining across the South. But that means the grass is going to grow, and we're going to have to get out there and mow it. Probably best to have a John Deere mower if you're doing that. And if you're looking for great deals on a John Deere mower, tractor, or Gator, Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo is the place to go. Great financing available, as low as 0% for as many as 84 months. You can find it all at Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo. Whatever you're doing this weekend, Scruggs Farm. Yes?
Well, keep going. Just finish the ad and I'll say what I have to say.
Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden in Saltillo, they have what you want for less. What are you snickering about? You got a big old grin on your face.
Yeah, Saltillo actually just won the state championship in baseball for the second straight year. So shout out Scruggs and shout out the baseball team for winning.
Well, there you go. I bet they use a John Deere mower they bought at Scruggs to keep the field looking nice.
Hey, the season's over now. It's time to look at the grass you haven't mowed.
You got to get out there. There
Too
you go.
busy watching your kid win.
Yeah, now you got to get back out there and get on. Yeah. Son, congrats. You won the state championship. Now go mow the lawn.
Fired up.
There
Fired
you
up.
go. It's the grind. It's never ending. If you're a landowner in the state of Mississippi, let Good Hope Land and Timber be the people you're calling when you have questions about your own land. How do you manage your land? How do you manage your timber? How do you do things sustainably but yet make the most profits? Good Hope Land and Timber is here to answer those questions for you. And if you're looking to buy or sell land, Good Hope Land and Timber can certainly make that purchase happen, be it a couple hundred or a couple thousand acres. They're experts in their field. Make them experts in your field with a phone call today. 601-442-9888. Or you can visit them online at g-hope.com. Locally trusted, landowner approved, Good Hope Land and Timber. All right, earlier this week, this was supposed to air yesterday. It did air on Thunder and Lightning Live. I talked to Mississippi State softball coach Samantha Ricketts after her team won the Eugene Regional and is now headed to Norman, Oklahoma, and they're actually there now, to take on the Oklahoma Sooners in the NCAA Super Regionals. Winner headed off to the Women's College World Series. Could be a historic weekend for Mississippi State softball if they were somehow to upset the Sooners. Wanted to talk to Coach Ricketts about her win, her team's win, her team, and of course Alyssa Fairclough's performance, which when we come back, we're going to talk about that in the context of some great performances in postseason or big games that I came up with for Mississippi State. All of our interviews here on Thunder and Lightning come to you from our friends at Alora Modern Wellness. Guys, the summer is here. I mean, you know, that's when you're getting out, you're really working out hard. You're doing the best you can to run. It's tough out there, though. You need to make recovery a part of your plan, and if you're not doing that, you're only getting half the job done. My friends at Alora Modern Wellness want to talk to you about a recovery program that keeps you feeling good. All right, when you work out hard, you need to recover just as much. Heat, cold, stretching, stress relief, it's all there at Alora Modern Wellness. Visit their website, aloramodernwellness.com. You can find out information on all of the services that are available there, and you can book your services there as well, or call them today at 662-268-9255. Alora Modern Wellness brings you this interview with Mississippi State head softball coach, Samantha Ricketts. As always, we don't have a lot of hard and fast rules on Thunder and Lightning, but one of them's got to be when you go to a super regional, you get to be on the podcast. Coach Samantha Ricketts joined us, Mississippi State softball, headed to the round of 16 for the second time in her tenure there. It's been a pretty good couple of well, I guess about a month now for the bloodline, Coach. If I get you a maroon and white Ulafala, would you wear it on the side on the in the dugout?
I don't know about in the dugout, but we definitely would have it nearby, I think.
Okay. I'm just saying they need to acknowledge you is all I'm trying to say here. So, you know, you go to the regional Oregon. That's a good program. You're headed out to the West Coast. What did you think the biggest factor was for your team if they were going to be able to advance?
I think, you know, we liked the draw. I think the toughest part of it was just really going across the country and the travel there. We left 2 days in advance because of that. So it was, you know, a 6 hour flight to get there and then get adjusted to the time change. So that, I think, was probably our biggest concern. But honestly, being on the road a lot of times for these postseason events is better. There's just less distractions. It's very much just we're going to go to the field, we're going to go hit, and then we're going to go back to the hotel. And that's kind of what we did for 4 straight days, and it worked out well for us there.
Do you change anything preparation-wise when you're in the postseason, or is it the same, you know, day one of camp versus here we are in the postseason? It's all the same.
It's pretty similar to what we go through, particularly with SEC play. And we talk a lot about that during the season, that SEC weekends, all 8 weekends is like a super regional, you know, because you pretty much are playing super regional teams week in and week out in our conference. So it's the same type of preparation, the same way we prepare leading up at practice, as well as the way we approach film and everything on game days. That way they're in that routine and not feeling like the moment's any bigger for them.
Do you have any postseason superstitions?
Well, I think we all get a little bit superstitious when things are going well. So
you're a little stitious.
Just a little bit. I'd say most of the staff was a little bit like that. Coach T with her pitchers was not at all. And she said this weekend, she said, "I'm just not organized enough to be superstitious." So we were all wearing the same thing on Sunday. We're all in maroon and she's in a black sweatshirt. And we're like, "What are you doing?" But it's fine. Just let her do what she wants to do.
I felt that comment. I'm not organized enough to be superstitious. I'm going to keep that. All right, for the uninitiated, explain the broccoli.
Oh, my gosh. The broccoli, we got there for our first game of the day. We were the first game on Friday, and there was this just random fan up in the very top of the center field bleachers who he was there before the team was, and he was up at the very top and dancing away just with he had a stalk of broccoli in each hand. He says they're just nature's pom-poms. And we were trying to figure out who this guy was, what was happening. And then over the course of the weekend, some of the Oregon employees and workers were telling us that, yeah, he does this at all types of sporting events all across the Pacific Northwest. And found his social media. I think it started out at a basketball game in 2022. And he heard there was softball going on this weekend. And he just wants to kind of spread joy. I think he's a special ed teacher, and just I think it's meaningful to him, just the energy he gets to be around, and he's found that in softball a little bit. And our team embraced it. They love to have fun, and they're dancing with him from across the field. And then on Sunday's game, the ESPN crew that had the call on the weekend, they brought both dugouts a couple stalks of broccoli, and one of our or two of our parents, two of our senior parents, stopped at a Safeway on their way in and brought in also two grocery bags of broccoli for our dugout. So we had literally broccoli coming out of our ears in that dugout. It was everywhere.
Do you like broccoli?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, let's say I'm a
I
big
think
broccoli guy.
Allison's soup pan might have taken a bite out of it raw in the dugout. There's no
That's a
telling
bit
what he was
much.
doing. It was a lot.
That's a bit much. Let's roast our vegetables, you know. Let's
Yes.
do something with them. We got to talk about Alyssa Faircloth because I don't know that I'm a historian of Mississippi State sports, but I know my Mississippi State sports history. And I was trying to think like the greatest performances ever, and then you take into account where they are in the postseason. It's on the list. It's in the top tier for me. How early in the game did you realize she's dealing out there? She's got a little more juice than maybe even normal.
I think we realized it pretty early. There was one, I can't remember exactly which batter it was, but we talked about it after. Early in the game, she got behind 2-0 on one of the hitters, and she turned around to her infield, and she just like tapped her chest, was like, "I got this. I'm going to get her." And we were like, "Oh, okay." And you could just she's always that competitor on the mound, and you can see it in her face, but just kind of the way that she was just in the zone and really continued to attack. And probably the 8-pitch at bat to their leadoff hitter, one of the best hitters in that Oregon lineup, that she just continued to battle and battle. And then when she finally struck her out with the rise ball over her head, I think that was kind of the at bat. We're like, all right, she's got this. She's going to finish this game out.
So, you know that with no hitters, there's a lot of, don't talk to them and don't let them know what's going on. Did she have that moment in the dugout or on the mound where she looked around, she realized, I'm throwing a no hitter?
She said she'd realized it probably about the fourth or fifth inning. But I think she just kind of went about her business. She's usually when she's the one in the game pitching, sits on the dugout bench behind everybody else up at the top. It's just kind of her routine, making sure she's getting some rest in. But I don't think at one point she ever kind of realized it and felt like any sort of pressure from it either.
I didn't notice. Did y'all do the whole don't sit by her thing?
No, I mean, it wasn't on purpose. That's just kind of honestly, I bet half the team didn't realize what was going on. That's just how they are sometimes. But that's just her routine. Most of the pitchers, when they're the one in the game, they're going to stay off their feet and kind of sit in the background and get some rest.
So I assume, game three, St. Mary's, you're up 2-0. You need a little insurance run there. I just assumed that before she went to the plate, you told Tatum Silva, hey, hit a home run here. That's
Yeah,
just good
exactly.
coaching, is
It's
my
exactly what
opinion.
I told her, right? It's like, hey, I'm putting you in to hit a 3-run bomb. Let's do
I mean,
it.
that's her first home run as a Mississippi State Bulldog. You had to, what's the reaction there where you're like, oh.
Yeah, it was really special. Tatum entered probably an inning before. She's usually our late inning defender in left field, just really solid defensively and somebody that we knew we wanted in once we had a lead. And she'd had really good at bats for us throughout the year. She'd been hurt the last 3 weeks or so with kind of a knee injury sidelining her, so hadn't really had as many appearances as I know we would have liked. But really, this whole season since transferring in, she came in kind of mainly more of a slap hitter, really a lot in line of like how Sierra Sacco was when she transferred to us, more of a slap hitter that we're trying to turn into a power hitter. And the biggest thing with Tatum was just convincing her that she was. And I think she really started to buy into that the last few weeks at practice and just told her to go get her best swing off and find a way to drive a run in for us. And she didn't miss on that one. It was just really special to see her hard work paying off. And she came in and was like, "I'm a hitter. I'm a hitter." I'm like, "Yes, you are."
So obviously, if you had your choice, you'd be playing this weekend here in Starkville. I have to imagine your second choice might be where you're headed, back home to Norman, Oklahoma. I don't know about that because I know the team you're playing is really, really good. But for you, is it something special about being able to go back to Oklahoma and have this moment in the postseason?
Yeah, it's always really special. You got to go back there last season and the regular season and see the new stadium that they had just built. And obviously a program that I just respect and have just a lot of really fond memories of them, of the coaching staff. But To play them in the postseason, it is. It's different, and I think it makes it a little bit more exciting. But really, overall, just looking forward to this opportunity for this program and for our players. It's something that all of these players have really bought into when choosing Mississippi State. A lot of times when people told us that, hey, you can't win at Mississippi State, and softball's never going to be able to do it. And for us to go to our second Super in 6 years, and it's because of these players who have really bought into that and wanted to elevate this program and this staff. And for us to get to do that, and then to get to go and do it against a perennial powerhouse like OU, I think it's just a good moment for us of like, hey, our hard work is pulling, it is showing up, and we can do this. We can compete at the best with the highest level.
You know that you're not going to be the favorite to win this super regional right now. As a coach, do you enjoy the nobody believes in us moments?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's no pressure on us. We're not expected to win. We're not expected to go in there and really do much of anything. And so we just get to go in and relax and worry about us. And I think that's kind of really continues on with the message that we kind of go with all year long. We really thrive on the blue collar mentality, and that we're going to have to work and scratch and claw for any respect or any success that we're going to get all year long. So I think it's just another opportunity for us to go out there and not let the moment get too big, I think is going to be the biggest thing, and just trying to stay present in each and every moment and not looking forward, because it is a different feeling when you're 2 games away from Oklahoma City. And I think that's the biggest difference, is they're a program and a lineup that's used to that. And for us, it's going to be something that's rather new. But that's where people like myself, Coach T, that have been in those moments and that experience, I think is something that really helps pay off, and just trying to continue to keep them present through the weekend.
It's been a hell of a run for you, Coach Ricketts. Let's see if we can't get it to extend just a little bit longer. Samantha Ricketts, Mississippi State softball. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate you having me.
All right, Brian, you were talking about before the break, you have a list of the most clutch performances, big games, postseason
Yeah.
games. Where do you think Alyssa Faircloth ranks in that all-time list?
I came up with five, and it's really only four, if we're being honest, because I put Will Bednar's 2021 College World Series, but I can't really divide that up into like one game. He was awesome in all three games. He had 15 strikeouts in game one. He was so good in game, I guess it's game five against Texas, and then his start in the College World Series final, he threw six no-hit innings against Vanderbilt. He was so good in that, but that's a three-game set. I don't really want to put that in there. So, State fans, you guys know I try to keep up with my Mississippi State history. I do the best I can. I'm sure I left something out. If I did, let me know what it is. But these are the four, and one of them is not even a postseason game. But I got to put KJ Costello throwing for 632 yards against LSU, setting the SEC single game passing record against. I mean, that's the defending national champions. We're coming out of COVID, and we didn't know college football was going to happen. And there was like this brief shining moment for Mississippi State where we're like, oh my God, are we the best team in the country? Now it ended up not being that way. But there was a moment there where we're like, and seeing Costello just drop dimes on LSU, it was really something. It's something that I remember watching it live and just being bewildered by watching Mississippi State throw the ball this much. And he could not miss that day. I'll put that on the list anyway. I put Dante Jones, 1996, SEC tournament against the number one team in the nation, Kentucky, who would go on to win the national title. State beat them in the SEC tournament final. Dante had 28 and 11 that day, and was just an absolute phenomenon, and really a game that kind of put him on the map nationally. There had been a lot of talk about him and all this, but he was just so good in that game. And I remember Bill Rafferty just loving every
Onions.
moment of oh yeah, that word was used and among many other things that day. So Dante was just fantastic as State beat Kentucky 84-73, 12 of 18 from the floor, 3 of 5 from deep, had 11 rebounds and 28 points in 33 minutes. And in a game where, Dan Pier only had 6 points for State that day. Marcus Bullard only had six. Darryl Wilson had a good game. He had 22 points in that one. But Dante Jones really led Mississippi State in that game. And that was the game where, like I said, for the month, he became one of those guys that when we talk about March, his name will come up every now and then, as he had such a great run from basically the SEC tournament until State was eliminated in the Final Four. that year. So I put Dante on the list. That Kentucky team, by the way, you know basketball, right?
Yes.
All right. Let me tell you some of the names here. Derek Anderson, Antoine Walker, Walter McCarty, Tony Delk, Anthony Epps, Wayne Turner, and Ron Mercer, and Mark Pope, the current Kentucky coach, all on
Yeah,
that team. That was a good team.
that
Obviously, they
was a
won
good
the national
team.
title that year. They beat Syracuse in the national championship, beat UMass in the Final Four, who had Marcus Camby that season. So that was a good
UMass
one.
in the Final Four is crazy to think about.
It well, I mean, that's when they had Calipari was their head coach.
True, true,
So I mean,
true.
they were a power program for a few years there. So I put that on the list. I put Morgan Williams in the Elite Eight. Everybody thinks of Morgan Williams in the women's Final Four hitting that shot that beat Connecticut, and obviously that's an all-time moment. That's something that, as long as there is March Madness, you will see that highlight of Morgan Williams hitting that shot. But her best game in the tournament was against Baylor in the Elite Eight, where she had 41 points in 45 minutes, 7 assists and no turnovers, and hit 6 three-pointers in a game where State won 94-85. I remember watching that game and just. She could not be stopped. And this is a little 5 foot, she listed at 5'5". They were generous
No,
at 5'5". They were generous with
I'm
that
6'2"
number.
then.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if she's 5'5", you and I are both 6'2", 6'3". She was just really, really unstoppable in that game. Just, and playing as the point guard and, coming up and handling the ball and then finding open looks and just not missing. Just an all-time clutch performance again. Mississippi State. And then you have the Faircloth no hitter. I mean, against the number one seed in the regional on the road, she, what one walk, almost a perfect game, and just completely dominated the Oregon team. And then, I mentioned Bednar and playing over 3 games. She comes back the next day and is really good in the championship game as well as to move on to the next day, so to the next round. I don't want to try to rank these. And like I said, I'm sure I'm leaving some off, something here or there that some big time performances. But that's a good list for me. Those are, you're talking about the College World Series for the men with Bednar, an NCAA regional, postseason no hitter, an Elite Eight game, the SEC tournament final against the number one team in the nation, and, that LSU team ended up not being very good, but they were the defending national champion at that moment.
They hadn't
And
lost since the previous year, too.
they had not
They
lost
got.
since. So when that game happened, let me pull it up. I'm pretty sure LSU was on like a 19 game winning streak.
Yeah, they snapped it, and that was. I mean, I was at Indiana at that point, or I was in. Yeah, I was. I would have been. I guess I would have been. No, I was a freshman in college. I remember that game, and I wasn't even paying attention to the SEC.
LSU was on a 16-game winning streak. I forgot they lost the last game of the regular season, that crazy in 2018, that crazy 10 overtime game with Texas A&M, 74-72.
Oh, I've seen highlights from that game.
That was an unbelievable game to watch. I remember just I was in my chair like, this is fantastic. And that game ruined college football because they changed the overtime rules the next year to do this stupid 2-point conversion thing. But they had won, they'd gone. They won their bowl game that year, and then they went 15-0 the next year. And yes, State going into Tiger Stadium, first game under Mike Leach. What is the air raid going to look like at Mississippi State? And KJ Costello breaks the SEC single game passing record, which had stood for at that point, I think it had stood for almost 30 years. It was something. It was really something. So I'll put that list up there. Mississippi State fans on Twitter, let me know what you're thinking. If you think if you like my list or not. If I left something out, I'm certainly willing to consider it. But I don't want to just, I know Hubbard had 46 points in a game this year. That was fantastic to watch. But
Oh
a
my
regular
God.
season game against an Auburn team that didn't go to the NCAA tournament, we're not putting that
Oh,
in the same tier
and a
as the.
state team that didn't make
Yeah,
big
it
plays
can't be in the
either.
same tier. So if I left something out, let me know what it is. I'm more than happy to talk about it with you. I'm trying to think if I'm missing anything for baseball. I'm sure that I am. But maybe DuBose's game in the regional. Where he pitched on
Venus.
97 regional. Brooks Brian might get mad at me, actually, if I don't mention Eric DuBose, who pitched a complete game, I think, on Thursday of the regional and then came back on Monday and pitched another complete game
Oh, that's
to send State to
yeah.
the College World Series. That's guy that needs to be mentioned as well. Absolutely. Yeah, we'll put
We'll
DuBose on
wake
this
up
list.
from a text from Brooks.
Hey, he's going to be like, you son of a. He's gonna be mad at me. But I mean, that was so regionals back then, and Brooks has talked about it. You had 8 6-team regionals, and you would start on Thursday, and you I mean, you, if you bought a ticket, if you bought a regional pass, you got to see like 8 baseball games. It was great. State was in the losers bracket. They won to force an elimination game on Sunday. And we were all like, is DuBose going to be able to pitch? He can't pitch. And then it rained on Sunday. And so it gave him an extra day of rest. And he came back on Monday and threw a complete game. And State won to go to the College World Series. So yeah, we'll put DuBose on the list as well to go with to go. So Faircloth, DuBose, Costello, William, Bednar, Dante Jones. I'm biased, by the way. Dante Jones is my all-time favorite Bulldog, regardless of sport. So I might just vote for him just because I'm a mark for him. All right. So we'll be back on Monday. We'll recap where State's headed. Should be here in Starkville. Who's it? So it's Monday's show. We'll not have the actual bracket in it. We'll just know that State is in a where it's either hosting or traveling. I expect them to be hosting. And we'll get the latest bracket projections for you on that one as well. Until then, for Carlo Barone, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.